This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural health care products, go to The Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
T7M Radio brings to you the Best of 7 Sports Talk with 7 Mitchell.
All right, people, y'all already know what time it is, and you guys are now rocking with the best. This is the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm 7 Mitchell, man. Salute to the NBA community. Y'all know how we do. Y'all know how we give it up, man. We live streaming here on Sunday afternoon. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all the supporters. I got the panel. I got a couple guys joining me this week. Y'all know the vibes here at the Best of 7, man. First of all, welcoming back to the platform, Trey. From First Formation, y'all know who Trey is, man. It's Trey, salute to you, my G. Appreciate you coming through.
Appreciate you having me.
No doubt, man. And I got my guy, Hank, who was with us last week on the panel from Sports Game Vision. Hank, welcome back to the platform, bro.
Thank you.
Man, it's going to be a pretty interesting one. I got a hell of topics, man. Salute to everybody, all the supporters. When y'all come into the live chat, man, please smash that like button, share the video. Let's get this thing started. We are live streaming on Twitter and on Facebook as well. So, again, shout out to the NBA community as a whole. Let's get things started. I don't even really want to waste no time, fellas. I want to talk. Magnif, salute my G. I see my guy Magnif is in the building. Magnif, you know you always welcome to join the panel. I think the link is pinned to the chat, bro. So if you want to join us sometime this afternoon, you know you're welcome to pop out. Salute to you, though, of course. Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is joining Skip Bayless and Undisputed, fellas. This was an announcement that Skip Bayless had made on social media. So I really wanted to start off with this topic to get things going. What are your reactions to Lil Wayne joining Skip on a permanent basis? And do you think Wayne's impact in 2023 is going to do something for the ratings of Undisputed? I start off with you first, Trey.
So when you look at it, like I said, I'm a marketer, right? That's what my degree is in marketing, sports marketing and media specifically. So when you take a look at that, I just see the meshing. I see the opportunity there. So if Wayne could make this work where Wayne could provide some type of at minimum, some type of sports energy and some intellect to it. Everything else is just personality at that point. And I see how possibly that can work to where it could bring an opportunity for everyone to be able to lock in. And now you bring Lil Wayne's followers into the equation. And now they're looking at Skip Bayless, even though he can be a little brash at times. So the ideal of it, I can understand. Now, as far as them being meshed together, that's going to be another topic. But I can see the ink behind the ideal.
Hank, my problem with this, bro, is that I feel like even though Wayne is a certified legend, and even though Wayne does know his sports to a degree, mm-hmm. I don't feel like the impact that Lil Wayne brings to the table is going to do nothing to like boost the ratings. Like when Stephen A. first worked with Skip Bayless. On First Take before he got hired on a permanent note, like we really was tuning in and couldn't wait to see the next time we saw Stephen A hit the camera because of the personality that he had in the delivery of his content. I don't feel like we really get that from Lil Wayne when he's speaking about sports. So what is your thoughts, bro, about the impact of Wayne joining Skip on Undisputed?
Well, it's a desperate move for Skip, honestly. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's ruined a lot of relationships, but he has a good one with Lil Wayne. Obviously, right. they golf together and all type of stuff. So hopefully he doesn't ruin that when Wayne comes there. Because they said him and Shannon was good for a while. So Stephen A. Smith, we all love Stephen A. Smith before he got to First Taking Cold Pizza. So right. That was, we knew he was going to bring that sports content to the table. Wayne, he's going to bring some impact because he is Wayne. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you bring in, I don't know who's the hottest rapper out right now, Lil Baby or something, to the table. Wayne is still a legend, but it's only so much impact he's going to bring. But it should be beneficial to him. I know he's supposed to do the Carter Six, I think, right?
Yep.
That, I mean, it's free promotion for him, but he's got to be able to bring, some hot takes to that table, but I don't know how long it's gonna last. I mean, at least it's every Friday. It's not every day.
So it's almost like coming to a party, right? A7, you bring the meat. Hank, I need you to bring the drinks. I bring the condiments, and that's what Wayne is. He just needs to have a little something, I think, coming to the table as far as sports. Everything else is going to, you know, saying it's going to become one of those things where it's just his, like we said, the impact of it. But it's going to be one of those things where you just need Wayne to come in to do a little something. Skip is the person, is the sports person, sports personality. He got the rest. Wayne, as a novice, as a sports enthusiast, he's going to provide his a bit to the show. And I think that is going to be what potentially can make it work.
Now, going back to what Hank was saying, because I had referenced before, feeling like this move right here was basically just setting a blueprint for another network or other platforms to get more younger, relevant artists into their show and talk about sports. I think it's going to help that, because you got a lot of social media presence with a lot of these young, newer artists, even though everybody knows who Lil Wayne is. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that it was going to hold major impact. But what you was just talking about, Trey, you know, because of the relationship that Wayne and Skip Bayless has, like, we've always watched Undisputed for the back and forth. We watched First Take when Skip was there for the back and forth. But the relationship that Lil Wayne and Skip Bayless have, realistically, can you see some intense back and forth debates between them two?
It's the game rewinds, I think, at this point. So they're going to have to basically come with a different angle. I think the angle is the changing of the guard, to where we're not going to see we're going to see the more docile part of Skip when he talks before he goes in. And then we're probably going to see bits and pieces of him when it comes down to something which they probably really disagree, in which we'll see that, or we won't know that till they're on air, to where they'll probably discuss that. But like you said, I don't foresee the Skip, Shannon, Stephen A type antics in which we've seen in the past when it comes to Skip and his show. But I'm not going to say it's going to be completely eradicated, though.
Yeah, if you notice, he was like that the last few weeks with Shannon. He wasn't really fiery. He was more nice. He was giving compliments to LeBron James, all type of stuff. That's probably how he's going to be with Lil Wayne.
But, you know, that's not the real Skip Bayless, and I don't think the people is going to receive that well. I think people are going to be able to see through Skip Bayless. We're not going to give him an opportunity to, quote-unquote, grow, because he's been doing this for so long. He's, like, stuck in his own skin when we talk about his delivery. Right. So him trying to do something different, even if he able to pull it off and execute it, that doesn't mean that it's going to equate to good ratings or a good show. And I'm still interested to see, because Wayne is only on, like Hank said, like on a Friday type of situation every Friday for a segment. You know, I'm interested to see who's going to be that permanent co-host for Skip Bayless, you know, throughout the week, because Skip clearly can't run a damn show by himself. He's never been built like that. So it's going to be interesting.
I ask you, Seven, who you think would be the good mesh at this point? Or you think he burnt through everybody that would fit with him good?
The thing about it is, bro, I got a couple names, but it just, like, it alarms me, because I always wonder what black person at this point will rock with Skip Bayless. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Seeing the experiences, seeing how things play out, what African-American really would, you know, really lock in with Skip and have it make sense? Like, I like Marcellus Wiley. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a man of his own mind. But I think because he knows how Skip plays, I don't think he would get that opportunity or even take it. So I don't know, man. Like
I said, he needs to do that round panel. If you seen my video, he needs to do that round panel, like First Take. That'd be best for him.
Okay.
Used to do that on Cold Pizza and First Take. That's when Stephen A came in.
And round table. That makes sense, bro. I'm just like Trey said, we're going to have to wait and see when the show start what the real impact is. But, you know, him bringing Wayne on board at this time, like Hank said, he's reaching. To me, like, he's just he really reaching with this one. But
and like I said, it might be specifically due to the relationship that him and Lil Wayne have together, because I could probably think of a whole bunch of different hip hop or even anyone else that probably would be better than Wayne, that probably would be better than Wayne in that aspect. But it's probably really the connection and the relationship that they have. to where it's valued enough for him to go into this venture.
Word. Did you guys get a chance to see Gilbert Arenas's interview with Trey Young?
I did not. What was it? I mean, I caught a piece of it on in a reel or something like that.
Well, he was talking a lot. It was a pretty good interview. You know, Trey Young had expressed a couple things, but one thing that came to mind that I wanted to talk about was the way Gilbert Arenas had blasted Team USA in this interview, because Trey Young said how he wanted to play for the USA team, but you know, he understands that, you know, it's not really in his control. But Gilbert Arenas had this to say about this year's Team USA roster. He said, "You see that list that Steve Kerr got? It's a sorry-ass group. Some of them probably don't even start on their team. It's embarrassing when you have star players that do want to participate. Now, I'm going to run down this roster to y'all, and y'all let me know if y'all feel like Gilbert was out of bounds in his comments. We got Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, and Austin Reeves. Also, Paolo Banchero, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Jarrett Jackson Jr., Cam Johnson, Walker Hessler, and Bobby Portis, I believe, for Team USA." So, what's your thoughts on that roster?
So, what I correct me if I'm wrong, I think Arenas just maybe out of bounds a little bit. That's just the people to secure the automatic bid into the Olympics. That's not the Olympic squad. So still there's an opportunity for everyone else to get in. So he might be a little presumptuous saying this is just a squad that you send in. It's just the soldiers you send in. That's the ground troops. They even pulled the Air Force and everybody. That's just the ground troops. That's one that's secure to secure the perimeter. And then the general and the rest of them come through. In my opinion, that's what I thought.
Hank, I got a question about this, though, bro. A different type of question for you. You know, when you look at the Dream Team, when you look at the Redeem Team, we had the superstars, of our league playing international basketball. Why do you think the superstars of the game has kind of pushed away from Olympic play, in your opinion? Because we're not seeing the big names really in uniform currently.
Especially back then, man, it was a lot more pride of going out there and representing your country, especially the original Dream Team. Right. Remember, they were going to college. You know, Michael played in the Olympics when he was in college, or what was it, last year or something? There's more pride to play for the country. Now it's not. Those guys are getting paid a lot of money, and they don't want the injuries. They want to enjoy their summer, you know, festivities. And that's the main reason you're not seeing a lot of those guys, you know, really participating in the Olympics. But I do believe there are some that still do want to do it, but I don't believe it's to the percentage that, you know, you can go call Magic, like, "Hey, Magic, come play USA." All right, cool. You know, Michael, the only reason for not going was Zeke. You know what I'm saying? But beyond that, he was willing to play. These guys, you know.
But you don't think we won't see the likes of a LeBron and a KD and Kawhi playing USA basketball anymore?
Even them, they're a different breed. You know, they learned from Jordan and them. Now, you know, honestly, they probably learned from, you know, the contracts they got to kind of protect themselves and protect their brands. That's why they're not doing slam dunk contests and things of that nature, you know?
Right. But I agree.
But they, you know, I believe there will be some, like right now, what is it, Zion, and, you know, Ja got their issues. That may be a reason why they're not on this roster. They, you know, obviously they're very young and they're great, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of pushback because of those contracts, and people want to, you know, just enjoy the, you know, the fruits of their labor.
Are you in agreement with Gilbert Arenas' comments, though? Do you feel like Gilbert was out of bounds with his opinion on this actual roster that's constructed at this point?
Yeah, he's tripping. Yeah, they got some good guys over there. I understand when you read that list, there's some guys on there that don't start. But they glue guys, and you need glue guys on your team. You know, like a Portis. Portis is a glue guy. You know, I forgot on the last team that just won. They had a couple of glue guys on the Olympic team with KD, and they won the medal with Booker and all them. There was a couple of glue guys on there as well. But you know, you need those guys on your team. But no, Banchero, he a stud, man, in Orlando. I don't know if y'all watched him this past season. He, you know, he's a star in the making.
I definitely followed his rookie season.
Yeah, he's good. You know, they got some good stars on there. And they're young. If you look at that roster, they're all pretty young, besides, you know, a couple guys. And they're trying to build for the future with the new coach. I believe Kerr, isn't this his first time on this roster by himself? Yeah, they're trying to build a new foundation. Guys that want to play going to come and, you know, they're going to show up. Like we just saying, guys are like, nah, I'm not going to come this year. Those guys, probably like Jalen Brunson, he seemed like he want to hoop. You know, Josh Hart. Those guys will show up every time they call for they play to represent the country.
Right. I think two things can be true. I think for sure, you know, when you're talking about the Olympic team, I think you're absolutely right. Giving these guys an opportunity, I think they can perform. Who knows how well they'll perform at the end of the day. But realistically, you don't want the country to be embarrassed going out, you know, crazy and like that. So even though, you know, I definitely agree with you that the guys that they do have now on the roster, they can play. They might not be the faces of the NBA. They can play. You don't want to get embarrassed, though, because these guys that's playing internationally, their games have stepped up tremendously. Oh, yeah. That's why a lot of these, you know, European and international players are at the front of the line when we having these NBA conversations about MVP and things of that nature. Look who just won the finals MVP and won a NBA title in Nikola Jokic. So, you know, I think the Team USA, I just hope they know what they're doing. I feel like Gilbert does have a valid point because you don't want to be embarrassed, but I wouldn't call those guys trash. Because like you said, some of those guys are glue guys and they make their impact relevant on their team night in and night out. B.A., what's up, my G? B.A. in the building. I think he muted right now. B.A., when he come back, we'll definitely get his thoughts and opinions on this. But, yeah, man, I was just – that came across my radar earlier about Gilbert Arenas blasting the Team USA roster, saying it was basically trash. I just don't want them guys to get embarrassed. So hopefully they know what they're doing and they get it right at the end of the day.
So do y'all not think that they're able to get the complete the assignment to get to finish up in the World Cup?
I doubt it, bro. I don't like I respect the team, but I don't like the team, bro. Like I who's the go-to guy at the end of the day? Like who can you really depend on and rely on when you're dealing with all these guys that don't really play with each other?
Okay. I was about to say, Andy Edwards, you know, he would be my first.
B.A., salute, my G.
Salute. My bad, fellas. I'm in here now.
What's up, man?
Got my dog, B.A., in the building. B.A., we were talking about Gilbert Arenas blasting or calling out Team USA, their roster, basically saying that they were trash. And I ran down some of the names that were currently on the roster. We got Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Austin Reeves, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, Paolo Banchero, Jaren Jackson Jr., Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, and Bobby Portis. And, you know, Gilbert was doing this interview with Trae Young, and Trae Young was voicing his desire to play for Team USA. And Gilbert was basically just saying that, you know, this roster is trash, and it's embarrassing when you got star players that do want to participate, but they, you know, figure out other ways to get guys involved. What's your thoughts on this team, and do you feel like Gilbert was out of pocket?
I mean, no, I actually agree with him. we're used to seeing some type of star or a few stars on a USA team, but this is not for the actual Olympics, right? Correct. This is just like a select team.
The World Cup.
I think so.
World Cup. So I can kind of see if it's for a world, if it's for like the cup, then I can see the roster being the way that it is. But still, we always got to have at least one or two superstars, because with this squad, they're a good team, but they can lose though.
Yes.
You see holes all in that roster, and that's why I don't knock what he says about the squad.
And it has happened before. USA has lost in international basketball, but I just don't think as a country, as a brand, we can't afford to take no L's right now.
At all.
Not at all. You know what I'm saying? Like we already looking weak to a lot of people. So
you say we're looking sweet.
Yeah, we're looking weak and sweet, man. Like we gotta hold it down.
You know? They're like, oh yeah, that's lunch meat over there.
But this is what it is. Like, we all know that the NBA right now, all of our superstars, our new superstars, they not even from here. So that's a big issue.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fact.
And all of them say it's easy to play here.
Yeah. That's true too. The Lakers had give Anthony Davis a 3-year max extension earlier this week.
Hold up, Sam. Did you just call them the Leakers?
I don't know what I called them. I'm a little bit disappointed at this move. Like, I'm gonna be honest. So, man, hopefully, I'm not the only one. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I pick it up what you put it down, man. When I seen that, I did the math in my head. I was like, wow, are we serious right now?
Oh my gosh,
I don't understand. I'm telling you, it's not to me. It ain't about him deserving the money. You know, Anthony Davis is a great player. It's not about that. He is proven in this gold and purple and gold uniform alone that when he gets what he wants, he sometimes takes his foot off the damn gas. And I'm just like, man, these are LeBron's last days, bro. We need everybody with some hunger. You know, this team that the Lakers have gotten constructed during the offseason is a team that a lot of people feel like they could finish with. And even though Anthony Davis deserved the money, he ain't going no damn where. And if he start barking like he going to demand a trade, call his bluff. Like, he has been inconsistent overall. I know he did well in the postseason, but overall, he has shown inconsistency, bro. And I'm just like, yo, if he wasn't in his last season or his last year in the contract, why rush this move just to appease him or even to appease LeBron? Like, I don't think this is a deciding factor in having LeBron retire in LA.
It's my squad, man, but I don't – $60 million? Oh, come on, man.
And he only walking away with like 24 after taxes, bro.
He said $60 million a year.
Yes, 186 million.
Hey, this new CBA is what it is. It's crazy.
So what he make this year? Because that don't kick until next year. What is he making this year?
35, I believe. This upcoming season, 35. It's either 30 between 35 and 40.
See, I never want to be on air tapping people's pockets, but come on, man. Is AD worth a 60 million man? Has he been a 60 million man in LA?
I'm not going front in this new CBA. He just might be with this new CBA, unfortunately.
Rasheed, let me drop the link again. It should be pinned to the top. I'm about to break down real quick his numbers for the next five. In the next 5 years for his contract. So next year he gets 40.6 million. In the 24-25 season, he's at 43.2. Then in the 25-26 season, Anthony Davis gets 47.6. Then the following year after that is 62.2 million. And in the last year of the contract, 2027-28, he estimates at 66.8 million. But again, because of the California tax, amongst other taxes, he's only walking away with like $24 million with that $68 million salary for the year.
Yeah, that still take a hit on that. Because I know as far as them paying them directly, I know that, okay, it's going to keep you over. It's going to keep you getting over $20 million. But it does. But there, as far as their cap for the players that they can bring on, in the luxury as well, it still affects that tremendously. So good luck, because you're talking about Austin Reeves, you're talking about Rui Hachimura. Oh, this is what we can build around. Good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck to your LA Leakers.
NBA champions 2024.
I hope so. I swear to God, I hope so.
Possible.
You think the legacy?
Hank, what's your thoughts, bro, when it comes to Anthony Davis getting this extension right now?
I think the Lakers might be scared to not have a star when LeBron's gone.
Mm. Hey, we know this is last season. We definitely know this is last season.
You think so? But
if Bronny's sick, man, he might not stay.
He might. Yeah, I forgot Bronny is sick, so he might stay with y'all. He might stay with y'all, bro.
Rasheed, what's up, fam?
What's good, kid? What's good? BA, what's good, man, kid?
Salute.
My guy, Rasheed White in the building, Sports to the Wire. Rasheed, What's your thoughts on AD getting this max contract, bro? I don't really like it. I feel like the Lakers is pressing the issue.
What other choice do they have, man? I mean,
they could have waited.
Max contract players coming over there. So, I mean, what do you got? 168? It's still better than Jaylen Brown's contract.
Annually.
Yeah.
Annually, I mean, but again, why rush it? Because he's shown that once, like when he won that championship, he was supposed to take the keys. He fell way back. So I'm like, bro, now that he got his money, what's to say he's not going to do it again? And then when they fail, put it on LeBron James. Like, they just set him up for just a – I don't like it.
I don't think he's wired mentally to be a number one. You know, I think he's – that's just my personal opinion. Everybody's like MJ or LeBron James, like mentally, like wants to be that number one guy and have the ball in their hands and make – You know, not everybody's wired like that. So I just don't. $168 million is still better than Jaylen Brown's contract, man.
What's up with your Brooklyn Nets, Rasheed?
What can we got Ben next Simmons next coming season? Back, man. We got Ben Simmons coming back healthy, man. So, you know, this should be a plus 10 win. I'm pretty sure James Pro is going to have something to say about that, but, you know.
For sure.
I rock with Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn. I rock with them.
Yeah, man. We got like LeBron 2.0 coming back, man. You know?
Who's that?
That's who he was dubbed as. That's who he was could be compared to, LeBron James.
Don't put that boy in the same sense with LeBron. Don't do that.
To send him right back to where he is right now.
That ship is sailed.
He's 27 years old. He's just getting into his prime, man. That back injury, man, that shit is no joke, man. I had that – not that particular injury, but I had a back injury playing basketball, man. Yo, that joint is painful, man.
And so, Rasheed, you've been giving me a lot of excuses. You've been giving me a lot of excuses for a year for Brooklyn. So what I want to know from you is, what do you determine successful for the Brooklyn Nets next year? What happens for you to say that they had a successful year? Just making the playoffs or what?
Listen, the Miami Heat didn't really have a true superstar, but they actually played team basketball. Everybody knows their roles. Nobody try to do too much. So that can actually be emulated right there, man. So the Miami Heat has actually shown us the way. So sky's the limit. Who knows, man? If you got a healthy Ben Simmons and he's like the Philadelphia Ben Simmons of he's a matchup nightmare. You mean you have to run a second man at him. Most of the point guards are 6'3", 6'4". He's 6'11", 240-something pounds.
You got to run what at him?
A second guy at him.
You got to run a second guy at Ben Simmons? Yeah,
man. Listen, he's 6'11", 240. Let's say Ja Morant's guarding him. He's Ja Morant was like 6'2", 6'3", 190. I mean, that's a matchup problem right there, man. I mean, Ben Simmons.
He's not going to be point guard, though. He's going to be a point forward.
Nah, they already have him as the point guard. I mean, Jack Vaughn and Sean Marks actually said he's the point guard. He's going to be the starting point guard, he will be the primary decision maker on that team.
But LeBron doesn't. LeBron is a point forward. He's the point guard, right? But he plays the four or the three, be it from running the squad, setting the table. So they don't have to. They're not gonna throw no double team at Ben because they want him to go one on one and shoot that thing.
Go watch my videos, man. I already did a whole bunch of video breakdowns on Ben Simmons having to be double. You know, he dropped 42 points on Rudy Gobert. You know, like he had that 42 point game in Philly.
What about those 2 0 point games? You want to talk about numbers?
I mean, he still had 13 assists. Yeah, I went over those games. I went over those games, and he was being double teamed every single time, and he had to make the right basketball play.
I don't think he wants to play basketball anymore. I think he's just getting a check.
So you're basically saying that it's Ben's team now. He's going to do right by y'all. That's what you said.
He's their best player. He's a 3-time All Star. Nobody on the team.
He's better than Mikal Bridges.
No, he's not. Mikal Bridges make an All Star team?
No, but he's all defensive.
I know, but did he make an all-star team? Ben is a three-time all-star.
He'll make one. He'll make one in the East now.
Yeah, exactly. Ben.
Yeah, yeah, but he hasn't made one yet. So Ben Simmons is actually their best player right now. He hasn't made it all. Nobody on that team made an all-star team yet.
Sheed, I rock with you, Sheed. But we haven't seen Ben Simmons in 4 years, bro.
He played last year, and they were still. He was like, what, a plus 40? I mean, the team is better. The numbers show it. You look at
how many games did he play last year, Sheed?
He played 41 games last year.
But the numbers in the NBA season, Sheed.
Hey, listen, everybody, why nobody's talking about Zion Williamson? Why we got to get off that? Talking about Zion? You know what I'm saying? This nigga hasn't played no games in like 4 years.
I'm on that same train. Zion, I don't know what's going on.
I'm talking about 7 right now, man. I'm talking to 7. I don't see about Zion.
Because Zion is a bust to me. I don't waste my energy talking about Zion Williamson. I really don't have a lot of content on
him. But where's some of the hate? Ain't nobody talking about getting Zion out of the league and all this shit. I mean, come on, man. Why do you hate
Zion hasn't shown fear. Your man has shown fear. Like, he ain't got no heart.
You have that back injury. You're going to have fear, too. You know what I'm saying?
He was scared to shoot that layup, he had a back injury. That's what we doing.
Kevin Durant had 3 bad games. He got swept last year. 3 bad games. 3.
But he Kevin Durant, though.
You going to compare Kevin Durant's body?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the point is that every player in the NBA in the history had a bad series, a bad playoff series, bad games. It happens. Ben won't be the first, and he won't be the last.
He's like, give my man some love, man. But get him off me.
And I'm dropping a video tonight on what Gilbert Arenas actually said about Doc Rivers. I'm dropping that tonight. It wasn't Ben's fault. It was Doc Rivers.
I told y'all because Doc Rivers is overrated coach, like I've been saying.
Not 7 believes in him, though.
And Doc Rivers? Me and 7 had this conversation before.
We definitely did.
You know, Doc Rivers overrated. I always did.
Yeah, man. He doesn't make adjustments. Like in that Philadelphia series, Joel Embiid kept getting switched on to Trae Young, and Joel kept dropping. I would have went small. I would have sat Joel Embiid's ass down, put Ben at the 5, or go small so they can actually come up on Trae Young and try to force him into driving or something like that. But, you know, that was on Doc Rivers. He didn't make any adjustments in that series. Then you're going to go ahead and blame Ben Simmons? Come on, man. You know how hard it is? You know how hard it is being like a guy, like I'm 6'1", and having to guard like a 5'5 guy. Like I'm 6'1". When I played a lot, I was 6'1", 225. And then I would have to guard somebody that's like, let's say 5'5", 150, and they're fast as shit, and you got to guard them. You know how hard that is? So Ben Simmons had to guard, what's his name, Trae Young, the whole 7-game series, man. That's hard for a 7-footer to guard like a 5'11 guy.
I just want to be clear before we move on to the next topic. For us to give Ben Simmons a pass, we have to look into your basketball playing history. That's what we need to do to acknowledge.
I just want to give you my personal experiences from actually me playing and having injuries and making sure you're good. And everybody wants Ben to come back and be that guy. But yeah, that back injury, that shit is serious, man. I was in pain for oh my gosh. Don't want to go through that again, man.
Real quick, switching gears. I want to talk about Chris Paul and his role in Golden State. I did a video earlier this week on an interview that Steph Curry had did. And to me, it seemed like Steph Curry was addressing Chris Paul and his desire to start in Golden State. Golden State is a team trying to say all the right things as far as how they like Chris Paul, how they can't wait to work with him. And we might have spoken on this before, but I'll start off with you, Hank. Do you see Chris Paul playing a real meaningful role in finishing out the season in Golden State?
I think they got him from some type of trade at debate for the midseason.
Okay.
it just didn't make sense to get him over in Golden State. The older point guard. It's just the money matched up for the Jordan Poole trade or whatever. But, I mean, unless they go on some type of tear with him in that lineup, he's going to be traded somewhere midseason. And right now they just, you know, they always say Chris Paul got the attitude or whatever. So they're trying to work on that through the media to kind of get him mentally prepared for, like, hey, you ain't, you know what I'm saying, you ain't 25-year-old Chris Paul no more. You're 35, 36-year-old Chris Paul. You about to come off this bench, you know. So I don't see him sticking around.
Do you think him and Draymond personality – do you think him and Draymond's personality is going to bump in the locker room? These are two strong personalities.
Of course, of course, but of course they're gonna collide. They're gonna clash, but I guarantee you, Draymond won't be hitting them in this mouth.
You don't think so? We watch Rondo hit Chris Paul in his damn mouth, spit on him, and all that, right?
Nah. Draymond is not. They were on a different. They were on different teams. I'm talking about. They're gonna. Everything is gonna stay in house this year. It's not gonna be. Oh, this is why you broke, and I'm about to make more money than you, or just as much money. It ain't gonna be none of that.
Trey, what's your thoughts on CP3's role with Golden State? Does it make sense?
I can't say if it makes sense or not yet, but what we do know about Golden State is they keep one of those type of veterans in their pocket. Think about Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. Like, these are those ones who have, when they were successful. So I think basically they have an upgraded version to that now. Like, it's an upgraded version of Iguodala to have someone that can probably still play. He's considered the point guard. I mean, the jury's out on that in a sense. So, I mean, I guess it's going to work from that aspect of what we're accustomed to seeing. Now, when it, as a product on the floor, that is where I'm still looking like, is it, can it mesh, or what's going to be CP3's temperature when he realizes I ain't really getting no burn and I'm not even the fourth option on this team.
But my problem is, bro, the names that you had given at the beginning, those guys weren't expected starters. Like, they knew they role in their position. Like, Chris Paul is coming into this thing with his chest out a little bit, with some type of expectation. And in all reality, if he was just about on any other NBA team, he would be a starter.
He would be a starter, yeah.
So, I know, it's kind of crazy to me. I don't know if he automatically buys into this. And I don't know if he's just trying to say all the right thing. Hank said he feel like this is just a setup for a trade. I just don't see how it would work, bro. I really don't.
Seven. We're talking about he's 38 years old, and he's not that young, prolific Chris Paul who runs. This is Golden State style. They run. They run and gun. That's what they do. I don't know how Chris Paul is going to fit into that unless he comes in with the second unit and sets the table for the bench players to run the actual offense, opposed to running and gunning. Because if he in there with Steph Curry, they get it kicked. Let's go.
Do you put a lot of responsibility on Steve Kirby as a coach to make this thing work with that second unit? Because you're talking about two completely different styles of play now with just one team. So how much pressure do you put on Steve Kerr as the head coach to make sure that he's able to put the right guys in the right positions in these two units?
I don't put too much pressure on Steve Kerr due to the fact that he already has four rings. With that being said, they're already an established franchise or whatnot. We know they're going to make it to the playoffs. I put all the pressure on CP3. Are you going to fit in, or are you going to go in there and try to create something new?
Will Chris Paul be there by the end of the season, or will he get traded?
I think he would be a good trading piece, but I don't know what his value is looking like right now.
I think what's going to happen is, as IBA was just saying, is definitely it might be one of those situations where Steve Kerr, when you see Chris Paul comes in, regardless of who's on the floor, that's when he wants to slow the offense down. And if Chris Paul is on the floor and they get to running and gunning, it's going to be predicated on end state is you got to guard both left and right elbow when Chris Paul's on the floor. He's almost automatic from there. He gets to his spot now, so it might not be as bad. When I was listening and think about what BA was saying, it might not be as bad as what we really think, because I'm with you, Seven. Like, how does he really fit in? Or, you know what I'm saying, like, we don't – I know they ain't bring him to go to state with the expectancy of you're going to run our second unit. I expect that they expand to run him to the wheels fall off. And then to the – for what Hank was saying, it might be one of those situations like, hey, this isn't working as we thought it was. Who's out there by the trade deadline? Who's out there that would be willing to take him? And that's where it is. So I think they, just like anything else, they got options. Myers isn't running the front office anymore, but I think they still got options.
Yeah, didn't they do something like this with D'Angelo Russell a few years ago? Brought him in, got rid of him at that trade deadline.
Yeah,
pushed him on, turned him into turned him into Wiggins, right?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yep, that's a good point, Hank. That's a great point, actually.
I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense to me. It never did, and it still don't. More importantly, because I don't feel like Chris Paul is going to accept this role that apparently is, you know, being laid out for him. I just don't think he's going to be able to accept it. Hank, when we look at Steph Curry, let's say hypothetically this thing do work, and let's say he gives Chris Paul a damn championship. He would have gotten Kevin Durant his championships. Will we look at Steph Curry like in another space because he have gotten KD rings and Chris Paul rings? Will we look at it any different? Because I know a conversation before used to be like if LeBron got Russell the ring, or if LeBron had got Carmelo a ring, it would be, you know, a greater look or this, that, and third. Will we do that for Steph Curry as well?
I would think so. I mean, he get number 5. That's wow. I mean, no, he got already, and then he got the finals MVP. That to me boosted him up all the way up there. He got that off his back, all that talk, and he's a way better player than he was when he won his first championship with against LeBron. Way better. Draymond even talked about his strength and his core. He can handle those bumps that they were giving on him earlier on in his career. So him getting the championship for Chris Paul, yeah, I think that would you know, he'll do it to two guys that really needed those championships, and I think it'll bring the conversation of him, you know, those all-time great players, more serious. And I still think he's already in the conversation as far as top 10.
Definitely. He's an under-the-radar goat as is. People ain't checking for him, but Steph is that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he top 10 to me. He top 10. Maybe he may be top 8 of all time to me.
Yeah. All-time guards or all-time players?
Players. I'm not – nothing to do with guards. We're talking about players.
Players.
Okay.
And it hurts me because my favorite point guard all time is still Isaiah Thomas. But, Curry put in that work, man. He changed the game.
Yeah.
Why do you have Isaiah? Why do you have Zeke as your favorite guard over Magic?
I'm from Detroit.
Represent.
Yeah, from the D, I was there when he won. He went through, 3 straight in a row. It's always been Z, you know. But you know, Magic. I always loved Magic. I always thought he was up there with Jordan. He went to the finals 9 times in 11 years. You know, nobody really said nothing about it. You know.
Yeah.
Trey, what's your thoughts, bro, on the Big 3, Ice Cube's Basketball League? Are you a fan of the Big 3? Do you keep up with the Big 3 at all?
So, I'm trying not to sit up and let my – I'm trying to keep the media personality separate from the home fanboys situation. So,
politically correct.
Yeah, I'm trying to say politically correct. So, I would say that everything is about opportunity, right? And I think that's what the Big 3 has provided. It's provided an opportunity now specifically because Hezzy God is on a tangent right now playing in the Big 3 to where he probably wouldn't have got that, you know what I'm saying, if there wasn't a Big 3. It affords an opportunity for, I don't want to call it has-beens, but for the people who's no longer in the league that want to continue to show their skill to play. Like, some people probably don't deserve that. Like, you know what I'm saying, Nick Young, why are you there? You know what I'm saying? But people like Coutinho Mobley and stuff like that who still get it in and you know what I'm saying, and showmanship and still play, where you got others that it seems like okay, they bring a name to it. So I would say that I think it's good for basketball, even though Ice Cube thinks the NBA thinks differently. I think it's good for basketball because it provides another outlet for them. And an outlet because, I mean, one of their teams is the Aliens, which is a team of foreigners that is playing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I see what they're doing again. I look at it from the marketing and media aspect of it. And it's a model that potentially works. Now, how long will it work? I don't know. We see the evolution of it from when it first started to where it is now. Is there any other way, can it get any bigger? That part, I don't know. But right now, I think it's playing this position.
The nigga Ice Cube to me is walking a fine line because I saw him doing an interview with Tucker Carlson and he was basically getting at Adam Silver in the NBA talking about how they don't support him and mm-hmm. they talk about unity and black and equality and stuff like that, but it's just all cap. But I'm just tripping a little bit because I'm like, Ice Cube, your damn organization is built off of the NBA. Like, let's be real. And correct. What do you expect them to give you or show you in support? It ain't like you're a sanctioned entity of the NBA. So I don't understand what Ice Cube is crying about, especially knowing the whole damn roster, the whole damn league is based off of former NBA players. So what else would you really be expecting?
I guess it's an extension. He wants that love. You think about it, if in what we do, right? We would feel a certain type of way if as a collective, if we started a conglomerate or we started to be, and then next you know, ESPN, Fox, and all them is blocking our potential sponsors. Or if it even gives a remotely look like that, we start, you know what I'm saying? You start side-eyeing, and so you start talking about it. Like, why is it every room is like we're putting up numbers, but yet every room we try to walk in, we're getting blackballed, or they saying we can't come in. And then you see everyone else walking. So it starts, you know what I'm saying, it puts it into a perspective and kind of say.
So he is – Ice Cube in this – his situation is two things he got to do. So I don't know if y'all noticed, y'all have heard this, but y'all can look it up. So the NBA and ESPN and a couple other companies, I believe Fox as well, they wanted to buy a percentage of his company. But, you know, he's a brother, right? So he wants to be 100% black owned, etc. But if you're going to get into this business and you want to flourish like you did, because they've been successful, you're definitely going to, hey, why not give them 20%, 30%? Grow. Mm-hmm. Break bread because it take bread to make bread. But he's not looking at it from that perspective. He either got to do that or join the Illuminati and he'll be all right.
He said he ain't doing that, man. He said
that's what I'm saying. He either got to give up a certain percentage because that's if he give up 30%, that 70% is going to be way more than this 100% that he got now. But he's not looking at it from that aspect.
Right.
He's still on this, I got to be an ownership. You're still going to be majority owner. But if you want this to grow like you want it to grow, then hey, do either what I just said to do, he'll be fine.
Yeah, see, he said on his interviews, he said he was willing to give up 10%. So he didn't divulge that information. They wanted a bigger piece.
How long, realistically, though, Hank, do you think the Big Three is going to survive? Like, how many more seasons do you give the Big Three? Or do you feel like this is something that can definitely go for much longer than it has?
Oh, yeah, I think it can work, man. Those players, there's a lot of players that want to go over there. Now, there's some that may not go because the NBA probably will block him, like a Dwight Howard or somebody like that. He still want to play in the league. So if he try to go to the Big Three, it's probably a wrap for him, you know. But I believe the league, it's a creative format. But what Cube is complaining about is them blocking his avenues for revenue, trying to get deals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I can see why Adam Silver's probably doing it. He don't want them to mess with the summer league, the WNBA, and all the entities, and he doesn't want to give up a bigger percentage of the pie. That's probably why they're blocking the league right now, as far as behind the scenes.
And he doesn't want, and a lot of the affiliates that Ice Cube is trying to bring in too, he does not want that. Adam Silver doesn't want them affiliates attached to the NBA.
Yep,
it's huge.
And that's what some of the issue is. If he gives up, like NBA was just saying, if you give up a certain percentage, that means you have to give up some of that as well. It's like they got a few niche things with the one-on-ones, the fireball and all that type of stuff. That might be assumed as being gimmicky because, I mean, I don't know if y'all ever been to an ABA game, but you know what I'm saying? Some of the ABA games have stuff that you might seem to be gimmicky, you know what I'm saying? But it works for their brand. It's a part of their brand as that organization. And so that comes with, that's going to come with it. Like you might have to run, you might have to give some of that up. We don't want to do that. We want to have this type of look. And so he starts to lose some of that power in giving up a percentage, especially when he, like you said, just like you said, his 70% is great, can be better, greater than his 100%. It goes the same for that 30% for the NBA could be greater because in-state is, we're the NBA. This is what we have. This is what we can bring to the table. And so it's really a chess. At this point, it's chess, not checkers.
Yeah.
And it's creative how he got it where there is no location. He goes wherever he wants to. He can float. That's why it's not like the Atlanta, whatever. He just has the team name, and then they can go to every city and play. And that's probably because they don't have the sponsorship of the NBA that locked down cities.
Right.
So he can go overseas to China, anywhere and play.
So yeah, France or London or something like that.
So this is something that I know he knows is because we all know Ice Cube is an intelligent guy. He's very intelligent. But until you get your own network, your own network, your own ESPN or any type of channel or network that you can get placed on normal television or on cable television, you
media rights.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're always going to be sunned until you actually break bread.
Yeah, you see the media rights tore a whole conference in college apart. Like the media rights itself, you'll break you.
Bro, college looking weird now with these conferences.
Ice Cube gonna have to go all in. Like he gonna have to do so much to keep this thing going. I mean, even from a brand social media being talked about perspective, like he can't be chasing ESPN and Fox Sports. Like I just saw him do a dope interview with Cam'ron and Mace. He gonna have to do things like that, like tap into more black or more small sports platforms to get that word out about the platform, the big three and things that they got going on. So I mean, I wish him the best of luck, but you know, I think he's fighting a fight that he ain't gonna win when he's trying to, you know, throw that type of shade on the NBA, because the NBA might not show support to his situation, but we've seen the NBA show support to a lot of other black entities. So, you know, it's weird, but we just got to wait and see how that play out. Last thing that I got for you fellas. Yep. One more topic before we get up out of here real quick. Ricky Rubio had announced that he's taking a break from basketball. I'm going to read this off to you and let me know what your thoughts was. He said, I decided to stop my professional activity to take care of my mental health. I would like to appreciate all the support I received from the I don't know what the FEB means, to make my decision. Today has more feeling than ever. Gracias. I ask to respect my privacy to be able to face these moments and be able to give more information when the moment is. So we have a situation where Ricky Rubio is taking a back seat for mental health issues. Not that he's a superstar or impactful player, nothing like that. Do you see this being a trend of more players taking time off for mental health?
I don't know how to answer this question. Seven, I'm gonna keep it 100. I don't know how to answer this question.
It's tough because like we've never known like mental health to be a thing watching basketball in the 90s and the early 2000s. That was never an excuse that was able to be given and stuff like that.
But social media wasn't what it was in the 90s, you feel me, in the 80s and 90s. Like social media wasn't like you wasn't acclimated to get on your phone all day every day and look up this and look up that and then look at, like, it was just a different time. It was the medium was totally different. than it is now. And I can see why people are going, I can see why people are getting depressed and mental health. I can see this because if you're on your phone or you're on your tablet or you're on your laptop all day, or you're even at your 9 to 5, when we used to go to work, and we used to chop it up with everybody at work and then do our work. But now you can be at work with your phone all day. What's going on? What's da 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 da? Bro, it's the thing called the algorithm now, where now you can, now things are like sent to you for whatever you clicked, and you start to get hooked and addicted to it. It's so much happening right now, bro. So could this be a trend? Getting back to your question, it could be. It could be, bro. You see Brittany Griner.
Yeah, Brittany Griner did it, but I don't get to see nobody on our level, like 9 to 5 people, like people that work regular 9 to 5 jobs, getting no damn mental day, health days off and shit like that. Like, they can take them, but they ain't getting paid for it.
So it's one of those things where we gotta look at it. I think it's a dissect. It gotta really break it down. So I have PTSD, right? Service member PTSD, or I was diagnosed with PTSD. However, comma, as my man Bishop would say, I don't have those points. I don't get to those points to where I'm feeling like I need to have a mental day or whatever case like that. Like, everyone deals with it differently. So when you take it in the sense of Ricky Rubio, or let's even go past the Ricky Rubio, even though he's the person we're speaking of right now, think about DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, Ja Morant, you know what I'm saying? All these other ones who have had, who have come out.
Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everyone has come in. What's her name? The Olympian.
Simone Biles.
All these people have come out and they talked about it and bring it up. So in the case of Ricky Rubio, let's sit up and break it down. He was a star. Think about Ricky Rubio when we first heard the name Ricky Rubio, who this guy was. Now he's a shell of himself. And that could be some of it. Because when I seen this, I was like, what's he gangbanging on? Like, what is it Ricky Rubio's having a problem with? That's what the first thing that came to my mind. Like, what issue do you have? But it could maybe be that. Like, I used to be the dude. I used to be that man talked about. Now they talk about Victor Wembanyama, Luka Doncic, like all these other. This is where it has, and it's gone away from Ricky Rubio to where he's a former shell himself. And so that could be some of it too. So I just don't know to see if it's a trend. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a trend, but I think the idea of speaking of it is what is more so trending.
Bro.
AJ, what's up, my G?
He carried Spain.
Salute to everybody in here, bro. 7, I ain't seen you in a minute.
I know, bro. It's been a minute, bro. Salute.
Yeah, I'm tapping AJ. In from London.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You came to
build it. One of the realest to ever do this thing, man. Ever.
Appreciate you, bro. Show love.
UK in the building.
You know. Already. Real quick, AJ, while you with us, let me get your thoughts on this last topic about Ricky Rubio basically falling back due to mental health issues and situations. Do you think that this is going to be a trend for more NBA players to use this reason to take time off?
I think to a certain degree, but just like the King that's just finished speaking, he kind of touched on other people that kind of did this. I don't think that it kind of resonates with people like us that work regular jobs, because especially for someone like me, if I get a sick day, if I get a mental health day or something like that, I don't get paid for that. It's not guaranteed money, you know what I mean? But I think with them, because they're on a different platform, they're on a different stage, it's a lot of people that watch them every day, even if they're sitting on the bench, even if they are a former star like Ricky Rubio. It's a lot of people. I think you get accustomed to a certain amount of attention, and then when that goes away, it's as if your value depreciates as well. So I think mentally it might have a toll on them. He's choosing to step away, just like Kevin Love did, just like other people did. Will it be a trend to a certain degree? Probably.
I hope the shit don't happen with the stars, though. Like, you know what I mean? That's my thing.
It was a few years ago that Kevin Love did that, and then it was DeMar DeRozan to a certain
degree. I hope no stars take time off. We got SP Talk Sports in the building. Salute,
what's
my
going
family.
On? Salute, family.
Appreciate you joining us, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I say you was loud. Like, let me pull up.
I don't think you want to with the stars, because I think they are costly.
Yeah, what y'all talk about the Rubio with
it could be different depending on where people's mental.
Bro, what do you think, SB, about Ricky Rubio, you know, taking the mental health approach, you know, taking the back seat? And do you think like it's going to be a trend with other star players taking the same approach to take time off?
I think this certain topic is a slippery slope, and you know, it's hard to go at because mental health should be taken very seriously, and everybody should take care of your mental health. If it don't matter what it is, I know sometimes we do get caught up in thinking like, yeah, basketball is the game, but these are the athletes playing basketball at the highest level. And some of these guys, like Ricky Rubio, been playing basketball all their life, and sometimes that's all they know. So, and then especially they might have been the man their whole life. So once you not being used to being the man no more might mess you up. We look at the end of the game, we all got ego. You know, you ever went to that point of life where you felt like you weren't the same? We all go through it. So I don't think necessarily should be I don't think it's gonna be a trend, because if you have mental health issues, I think you should handle that and get yourself well. And that's it. So honestly, because like I said, it's a slippery slope to argue, because I think we look at them differently because they athletes and they millionaires, but they humans just like us and they go through everything like us. So I think he's doing what's best for him, and I think he should get his mental health right. And once he feel like he's well, come back and play ball. If not, retire. And your health is more important than the game.
That's a fact. Do you put any less respect on it, though, because we've watched the game and players in the 80s and the 90s, what have you, and this was never brought up, even if they were, you know, dealing with certain things, it was just never a cause to pause or a reason for guys to take time off. Do we give guys less respect because we watch other players kind of fight through stuff, even though the times are different?
I say no, because I think sometimes we get caught in the fact that we see everything. We in the general back in the day with the 80s and 90s, we didn't know what Magic went through. You think Magic wasn't depressed when he went through his situation, had to make that announcement? I know he had mental problems after that. Then the Magic had to announce it. They had to deal stuff with your wife, with his problems. We just see everything and hear everything. We back in the day, 80s, 90s, everything was like a mystery. So I think, and then also you got to think about players used to cope with things differently. You know, that's why it was like the cocaine era of basketball, the alcoholics. So that's people coping with their pain like that. So I don't look at nobody no differently, like I said, because everybody goes through mental problems. I know nobody should be able to judge somebody who's going through something. I just think you should put yourself in the best position to be as healthy as possible and available in life for your family.
Word. Hank, do you think that we should respect it less because we watch players go through it before?
Yeah, like you just touched on, SB touched on, we didn't see all those things. I even heard, you know, some of those sports journalists that beat writers even talked about it. It was like the commissioner caught those guys doing things back and they just didn't get reported because now media is really huge. We're media ourselves with our cell phones and everything. But it wasn't like they weren't dealing with anything. Right. They just were, of course, those guys were trying to play every single game. They probably needed to take some games off. Now these guys have the opportunity to play less games and also address issues that they got going on. I don't look less of them unless they're playing the system. I feel like Ben Simmons was doing that, but we'll see.
Right.
If he comes back, don't play the system. Actually have something going on for real. And beyond that, take care of your health and, you know, just come back and play when you can.
Much respect and well wishes to Ricky Rubio, man. Real talk. Fellas, I appreciate y'all. SB, before we get up out of here, I got to let the people know what you got going on your channel, bro. Again, I appreciate you popping out and rocking out with us. Let everybody know what you got going on your platform and then make sure they subscribe to you, bro.
You already know. It's Real Takes Over Fake Debates on any platform, or look up SB Talk Sports on any platform. Pretty much I do all sports. I'm in the process of getting multiple different shows of different sports, and I'm looking for people who want to be panelists for the show. So if anybody want to hit me up, join the Discord or follow me on any platform, just let me know. So you might be a football guy, want to join the football panelists, let me know. I'm trying to launch everything around.
Okay.
Yeah, so just pretty much want to check out my content. We do all type of sports. Just check me out. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, you know, run the movie.
No doubt. I'll make sure I put the link for SB's show and platform in the chat. As always, no doubt. Trey, you got any final thoughts before we sign off, bro? Appreciate you coming through this week.
Yes, no problem, man. I'm still, like I said, you just got to a new area, so still trying to get connected to get back out there. Y'all know y'all see a First Formation, y'all First Formation Morning Sports Talk. Similar SB will be basically talk everything, but more of a perspective from, you know, saying veterans and stuff like that. So I have a lot of content that specifically deals with the military sports, but, you know, saying sports is all encompassing. It in my opinion, the sex in every life. So I always look how to bridge that to everyday life. So whether you know sports, it's still a vibe to come on and listen, because I'm going to find a way to connect it to just everyday life and all. So, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, check, like, subscribe, Facebook, YouTube. We all out there. First Formation Morning Sports Talk.
Shout out to my brother, Trey. B.A., get your bars up. Let everybody know what you got going on, family. Appreciate you as always.
Hey, man. Once again, man, salute to all everybody that's up here. Salute, fellas, 100%. This is fun work. This is fun work. I love talking sports. I love it. I love debate. I love all of that. Different perspective is always key. BA, get your bars up media. We on my platform, we talk a lot of hip hop and we talk a lot of battle rap in general, but we do talk sports as well. And right now we do have a live show that I'm about to get on in about 15 minutes called Get Your Game Up. It's not about sports. It's not about hip hop. It's just about life. But we talk about talk to the men, and we talk to the younger men and the younger ladies in the culture about just how to be better human beings, be the best human being that you can. And we give different perspective in that. And man, we're trying to punch back into the algorithm right now, man. We're trying to get to 20,000 subs. We had 16,200. We trying to get to 20,000. So everybody that's watching, come support. Guarantee you the content is dope. And we here for all of that. But I appreciate you once again, Seven, for inviting me on.
Always, all day, every day. Hank, Sports Vision. Let everybody know, Hank, what you got going on, bro, where they can follow you.
Oh, yeah. Well, just, you know, talking about sports in general with a focus on NBA and wrestling and a little bit of boxing here. But, yeah, I'm on all the socials.
Said wrestling and Knowledge of the Tribal Chief right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like Knowledge.
Knowledge of the Tribal Chief. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah,
man, but I'm on all the socials, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, on the Sports Game Vision or whatever, the X, Twitter. I'm on that, too. And just trying to drop video. Well, I drop videos every day, and eventually I'll probably do a live cast at some point. But right now, I'm just working on the videos.
That's dope, bro. Last but definitely not least, my brother from the UK. I got AJ in the building. AJ, are you still rapping, bro? Like, what you got going on, bro? Because we definitely want to stay in the loop with what you got going on.
Oh, man. You know what, Seven? I should have hit you up ages ago. I've actually retired from battle rap.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
You was in battle rap? You
said, yeah, wow, yeah. He's crazy.
that was a passion of mine for sure. I gave it everything I had, but I just felt like almost kind of what happened with B-Dot and Daylight, where you feel like you kind of speak a different tone,
a different language.
Some people
shit,
don't
word,
really
word.
Appreciate and tap into it. So when you realize that, you also understand that from a lyric perspective, I'm gifted in certain ways. So kind of trying to focus on my poetry, on my music, and just generally my own health, like everybody else here, trying to be stable. Do you know what I mean? Gym, just general positivity and things like that. So that's what I'm currently focused on right now. And general work, you know what I mean? I go work tomorrow, so I ain't mad at you, bro. But yeah,
big up to you, AJ, man. Big up to all the fellas on the panel, man. I appreciate y'all coming through. Shout out again to the NBA community. You guys are now rocking with the best. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm your host, Seven Mitchell. Before you guys go, make sure y'all smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. I'll have links to everybody's on the panel's platforms in the description before the day over. Please make sure y'all follow and support everybody on the panel. We rocking and rolling every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk. So I look forward to chopping it up with the people next week on another panel show. Y'all guys stay safe, and we out. Peace, y'all.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Peace. All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.